it seems like every breath of hope has died.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome once again to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, gentlemen.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma.
Amen. And warm blessings from here. We were in the 40s today, had rain. What a change from, you know, our 18, 19 below on Monday morning, but... I sure like the 44 degrees and rain better, but again, welcome to the program, and I know we've got some callers, so I'll be standing by and let you know when they call in, and we'll be listening in.
All right, thank you, sir. And we do welcome everybody to Hope is Alive, the show about hope. And what's the hope? The hope is that you can be set free, which torments you by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. If you have any questions about deliverance, you can always go to deliveranceusa.com, and just about everything that we talk about is right there at that website. There's self-deliverance, there's training videos, there's testimonies, there's all the prayers that you need, all the forms to help you to set people free, or you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582 and just tell him you need that book and he'll surely get it out to you. Good evening, Pastor. Another great day here in the Ozarks. How about you?
Oh, a nice day. Nice and sunny. Seems like we've had so many cloudy days this winter, but this is a nice blue sky. It was a little cool with the wind, but not too bad. We'll take it. Spring is coming.
We'll take it. It is coming. It is coming. Just like Richard said, had a cold weekend. We had a considerably cold weekend for this area, and it dropped down, and then it went back warm. It's starting to get warm, and then here comes the rain. But they say March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb. So
yes.
That's the way the Lord made this weather system in this area. We need that rain so we can get the floodplain flooded and get fertile soil in there for the crops, and it's just the way he designed it. It's just magnificent to watch how the weather works, and the Lord did it. So, well, Pastor, I've seen there's been a lot of testimonies over email the past couple days, and I'm sure you've got some testimonies for this last Monday night.
Well, that's true, and we had 14 cases Monday night, and had a minister for each person. Worked out really well. I ministered to a man, and his wife had driven down from Kansas City. One of the lady ministers, two of them actually, ministered to his wife. Now it was able to get the head demon up and interrogate it. It was kind of interesting. There were only three demons under it when I finally got to, and seeing if I could get the head demon up, as I interrogated it, it said there were dozens when he came in the door Monday evening. But as all often happens, he had deliverance starting in the door closing prayer. He said he was burping during the door closing, which is a sign there's spirits coming out. And then he had more depart during the breaking of ungodly soul ties. Then he had more spirits depart during the inner healing, that is, working with the traumas of the past and Jesus taking the related feelings, bad feelings associated with those memories. A certain number of demons left then. So there was only three when it was time to actually zero in and do deliverance. But it was a pretty easy ministry, in fact, quite easy. And he had a short leg adjust, and he kind of had the baptism, but he didn't really have a good language, he said, to start any time he wanted the tongues. So we went through the baptism again there, asked Jesus to rebaptize him in the Holy Spirit, and sounded to me like he got a pretty good flow going. So he has to be better. I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet, but there's no way he wouldn't be better.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You know, that's not unusual for people to start feeling a release just going through the door closing prayer. I know that each time I do it, when I sit down and sincerely go through it for myself, I find a release that something gets attached there. It's so easy to happen in our lives. Don't know what it is or why it's there, but people can be set free just from that door closing prayer. And unless it's just a really deep seated tough root spirit or demon that's within them, that door closing prayer is pretty powerful just by itself.
We do get quite a few reports of people yawning, coughing, or burping, or feeling something depart. It's rather interesting. I think that is our greatest contribution at deliverance ministry to the body of Christ. It closes. There's 15 doors we've recognized that evil spirits can come through to torment Christians, and so those doors are covered in the door closing prayer in an overall attempt to close them the best we can before ministry. And I've tweaked it now 40 years, so it does a pretty good job of that. We still typically have to fine-tune after we sit down with somebody, and, you know, as we dig deeper. But it sure makes a big difference compared to 40 years ago when we got started in this. All we knew to do then was to figure out the likely names, which is pretty easy as a rule. You'll know them by what they're trying to do in the person's life, like fear, anger, depression, addictions, and address them as a possible spirit. And we used to have all kinds of fireworks then. People, thrashing out of the chairs and all, and outcries, and it was hard ministry. We go into the wee hour, so the door closing prayers has made the difference for easy, more efficient, and lasting ministry. And I sure like that. And we go home earlier too. Usually, I was through about 10, and average is probably about 10:30 for people, and some will go a few a little later than that. But we blow the whistle 11:30 because, and then schedule someone to come back if they're not through by then.
Well, it definitely helps with the long lasting, because as you know, this is the way I view it. Is you know, we have authority over spirits and we can cast them out, but if the root cause, the legal right, whatever it happens to be that's brought him in there, if it's not shut down, that spirit can come back, and it can come back worse than before. But that's just the great thing about the door closing prayer, because you deal with those, and especially with the breaking ungodly soul ties and inner healing, those things right there. I mean, I've just seen people transform going through those inner healing, just right there before you in their face. You'll just see a difference in them. You can see them when they do cast their cares upon the Lord, just like 1 Peter 5:7 says, is to cast them upon him because he cares and he will take them. And
yeah,
it's just wonderful, wonderful to see it when the Lord takes it. I mean, especially when someone's sensitive enough to hear the Lord speaking to them, or in the case, sometimes they actually see the hand of God come down and take it. It's just absolutely wonderful to watch. And it really does a healing. It gets those root causes. It doesn't just bandage. It causes a complete full restoration and healing upon whatever that trauma was.
Yes, it's a huge step. And this man, Monday night, he felt so good after the soul ties even. He was saying he felt lighter already. And I told him, I said, well, we got more to do, you know. But any one of those steps, a person will feel better and more lighter. But when you finish at the end of the evening, they're pretty much floating on the air, you know. They really feel good, and most everybody's saying they feel lighter, you know. That's a typical comment at the end of the evening.
Yep, and I believe that reason is because the yoke of the enemy is heavy. And Jesus says, take up my yoke, because my yoke is light and easy.
Yes. It definitely is lighter. Hallelujah.
Yeah. I'd much rather have the way Jesus says to do it than the way the world or the way the Satan tries to get us to do it.
Yes. And there's such a joy being on his side, and especially getting delivered, and then even in ministry, all of our teams have a great joy at the end of the evening. We visit some usually before we go out the door, and everybody's pumped, you know, and they're excited from their case that they had, and the fellowship is awesome. And you know, we're warriors that have just finished in a battle, and
yes,
we've won. Hallelujah.
Yeah, it's like a little celebration.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, and tell some war stories while you're at it.
Amen. And these highs, I'm on a high, and the others report the same, for several days at least after a ministry session of seeing the Lord work through little us, you know, and minister to these hurting people, and then see the results, you know, as these things come out and they feel better. And we get to watch that right in front of us, and their faces change. They look younger so many times. It just leaves us all on high.
It does. It's like the immediate results of what's going on, and it's just that really helps and encourages you, because it's you know, like you said, you wouldn't still be doing this all these years if you weren't getting results.
Amen. Amen. Well, at least we're on the. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Well, that's all right. I was just going to say that there was a normal amount of email testimony shared this week is that
well, Richard sent an email out about my birthday, and
yeah,
wished me a happy birthday.
That was probably the
so
reason why
it stirred it up. And so when people wrote happy birthday, then they had comments about their deliverances they'd had, and it was amazing. I've got a whole bunch of people lined up for the shows through the month of March from that.
Praise God. That's a good way to solicit testimonies. And there was one, I do believe, from reading the testimony, I think we had that gentleman on the radio show. As I specifically remember somebody coming on who had a real problem and a fear of storms. And I remember him talking about if he saw there was even a 20% chance of rain, he wouldn't leave the house. And
he's been on the show. Yeah.
Yes.
That was Anthony.
Yes, I was
Anthony.
Yeah, Anthony. Yeah, so I was fairly certain that that was the same testimony. I mean,
mm-hmm.
It would be unusual for, I guess it wouldn't be unusual for someone to have that kind of fear, but just everything was said the same. But, Pastor, we have Dot with us. Dot, thank you for calling.
You bet.
Hi, Dot. Thank you for calling. This is Everett. And appreciate
You're quite
it.
Welcome.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, very good. Well, Doc, why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself? Ralph is on here, by the way, the co-host up in Missouri. But why don't you go
Hello.
Ahead and give some history and how you learned about deliverance and, any experiences you're comfortable in sharing about your deliverance or what you've seen.
Okay. Well, good. Nice to talk with both of you. My born-again date is April the 18th, 1987. My daughter was saved at the age of 10 and was about to be baptized. And so when the pastor came out to talk to us about that, he asked if I'd ever been saved. And I told him I did not grow up in a church-going family, but we were allowed to go to revivals when they came to town. So I got saved every time I went to a revival, but it never changed or affected my life in any way. And so at the age of 30, I received Christ, and my whole life changed. I was very much on fire for the Lord and very eager and constantly seeking Him and His will in my life. And had a series of bad episodes after I got saved and got baptized the very next day on April the 19th, 1988. Had my daughter, who was saved at the age of 10, found out that she had been raped at the age of 9. By my brother-in-law, and then was raped again later in life at the age of 13. So we moved from Texas back to Oklahoma, and shortly thereafter the bombing in Oklahoma City happened. And so it was with great confusion that I was walking through life, trying to figure out how a child of God could have so much devastation in their life. No one had ever told me that being a Christian was the most difficult thing I would ever do in my life. But with even the great difficulties, the advantages far outweighed them, because I knew at any given moment that I was having trauma or suffering from my PTSD from being a survivor of the Oklahoma City bombing and dealing with the trials of the rapist of my daughter, that through all of that, my God was with me, and that He would bring me through any situation. The difficulty I encountered was with the PTSD was that I did not doubt that God was with me and would help me at any given moment. I just had no desire for Him to help me. I felt that I should suffer because I did not die. And others did, especially the 19 babies. So I went probably for 8 years of counseling. And during that time, I was not attending church. But it came to my mind that something was missing in my life, and that was my close relationship with God. So I found a church here in Yukon, Oklahoma. And at that church, began to heal. The church family itself helped me. They supported me. They taught me. They showed me ways of getting close to God again. And one particular evening, we had a guest speaker, and he made the statement that it was a song he was singing, and made the statement that, God, I'm tired of living this way. And I thought, yes, Lord, I am tired of living this way. And so from that day forward, then I began to grow closer to God, grew exponentially in my faith and in my walk with Him, and rocked along doing well until my husband became ill with a disease that eventually took his life. I spent a full year of my life 100% taking care of him 24/7, sole caregiver. And so that was a strain on me, and it exhausted me and pushed me beyond my human limits. And so that then began to exacerbate my PTSD. I learned about this deliverance through a friend of mine at church. She's the one who brought me to the church a couple of weeks ago to experience what she knew could help me. I had my doubts. Anything new and out of the norm, what I considered out of the norm of a Christian life, had me a bit concerned. So she kept after me for about a year, and finally I gave in and came. The discussion was very helpful. It was very explanatory, very clear at the purpose of what a believer is to do, and that is to use our mouths to share the Word of God and then to put into practice what the Word of God gives us. And so when the ladies sat with me and discussed the issues that I was going through and came to a conclusion as to what they felt God was leading them to help me deal with, I had an open mind and an open heart, and through their prayer and their laying of hands and discussion, I truly feel that I was delivered from the heavy burden of the grief of my husband's death. I truly feel I was delivered from a big portion of my PTSD. As a matter of fact, I came home, and one of the issues with my PTSD is I wake up in the middle of the night with flashbacks of April the 19th and the bombing that happened in Oklahoma City and everything that I saw. And it's very debilitating. And so sleep was a rare occurrence in my life, has been for now almost 24 years. I can tell you honestly that I came home that night after the deliverance, and it was probably 10:30 at night when I went to bed, fully expecting not to sleep. But I woke up at 8:30 the next morning. I had not moved from the position I was in when I went to bed. I did not have a single nightmare, not a flashback, not awakening of anything at all. And I was so refreshed. It was giddy feeling. And I could only attribute to that to what had happened the night before, and there was the deliverance of those things that were keeping me bound. One of the other issues that we prayed for deliverance from was the very heavy burden of grief and guilt I had at my husband's death. I can say even that has lightened considerably to where now I can still acknowledge the grief at my husband's death. We were married almost 40 years when he died, so I would expect that that grief would be a natural thing to occur in my life. But I can see where God has lightened the weight of that to where I can at least breathe and acknowledge and see then the blessings of my marriage and the relationship my husband and I shared, rather than the heavy weight of the fact he is not with me and I will not see him again until I get to heaven, which is a positive thing when you think about it. It's supposed to be a positive thing to know that our loved ones are in heaven and that we will have the gift of seeing them again when we get there. but because of the weight of my grief, I was not able to look at that as a positive. And so I can honestly say that I think the deliverance program has helped me considerably with both of the heavy issues that were in my life. And I'm so very thankful for both my friend getting me there and for you all having the program available, and above all, thankful to God that he brought me there and gave me what I needed to have in my life through you all in your program.
Praise God. That's awesome, Dot. What a testimony. And you know, that's what drives us all on, is to hear those testimonies of how this actually worked and help people in problem areas that disappeared. Quite frankly, if we didn't hear the testimonies that there were changes, there's no reason for us to do it, you know. But
exactly.
Praise God, that's an awesome testimony. And well, have you thought about going through the training yourself, Dot, learning how to
I've
do
not,
that?
I haven't yet. It is something that is on my mind, but it's something that I, you know, as I do with all things, I'll pray about, and I'm sure God will reveal to me when and if that should happen, and then will free up my schedule to allow that. I work many hours through work and then in leading Bible studies, and so I'm sure it's probably a possibility in the near future.
Well, the exciting part, just before you came on, we were talking about, you know, the highs that we're on as a result of being in the middle of this kind of ministry, and seeing the power of the Holy Spirit go forth and purge these spirits while we watch. You know, it's putting the word to action and actually doing the works of Jesus and his name. Before you came on, so often we've seen people's faces change right in front of us. They look younger, you know, and they feel lighter. Did you feel lighter at the end of your session?
I did. And even my best friend at work the next day, she said, "You look different today compared to yesterday. What's going on?" And so I told her, I said, "God has been working in my life and delivering me from some things that have kept me haggard." And she said, "Well, you don't look haggard today." So I was very thankful of that. But I do remember sharing with her as well. I said, "You know, I think I realized an area in which I feel maybe the church is failing the believer, and that is that they're not teaching us about spiritual warfare and how to combat that." And I think this deliverance program definitely does give you that vision into that as to how we're to fight in the spiritual realm.
And the steps that we do, we were talking about that earlier, the breaking of ungodly soul ties and the inner healing of dealing with the traumas of the past and handing those feelings over to Jesus, and he supernaturally takes them. It's these steps we've learned to do over these years is definitely brings people what I tend to call a Jesus overhaul. And who doesn't need a Jesus overhaul if they haven't
this
kind of ministry?
Absolutely.
They probably need it. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Awesome.
Well, and it's through, you know, I know too, I share the things that God has done in my life when I deal with survivors of terrorism worldwide now. I reach out to them and help them to see that through Christ all things are possible, and that there is a ray of hope that you can continue, but you won't continue as well because there are many who don't believe in God. And I'm a prime example of them that without God, you will not get through this life. And they're seeing the difference in what is God-led and changed in me versus what they're dealing with in the world because they are not of Christ. And so I think any time that you can share your story, then you're doing God's will, and that will help others then come to him, which is what we're all mandated to do, is to bring others to Christ. And so the deliverance that I've had through this program now will be another page in my story to tell other people of, again, the great healing power of our Father in heaven. And so I think it's critical that you're having the opportunity for people to come and share their deliverance story. I think that's amazing.
And, you know, who hasn't had some traumas? It'd be a rare person that hasn't had traumas in their lives. And so they just live with it, cope the best they can, and they go to heaven as a born-again Christian, but they never really live life abundant that they could have, and they're in this torment as years go by. And how many are in that category out there, Doc? Just think about it. They're all around us.
I would guarantee at least half the population, and that's just at a minimum, half the population is going through life not knowing the relief that Christ can give them and the burden being lifted through Jesus Christ. It's just, you know, it flabbergasts me. And it scares me to a point of, you know, what these people might be doing with their life that if Christ was in it and he could deliver them from the things that in their life that are destroying them, how much more joy they would have in their life and how much more productive they would be for Christ.
Yes, that's so clear. You can just look in people's faces and typically see it, you know, this torment that's there. And even those that become born again, you know, they, so many of them have some heavy tormenting going on. So we all have a big job to do to share it. I just praise God somebody shared it with me. I could have missed it very easily, and that's kind of the, really all of us, somebody had to have shared, as the scriptures say, how's a man to know if someone doesn't tell him? And I just praise God somebody told me. Of course, I had a trauma in my life, and I needed help, and that I was looking for something. I didn't know what. But luckily, a friend of mine got me on track, and I got delivered, saw the reality of it and all that, and I wanted to learn about it. So
it's
maybe
amazing.
The Lord will lead you. I can tell you'd be a good team leader, Doc. you've got a great background to help people, that's for sure. I can see that.
Yes.
So pray about it. Maybe the Lord will lead you. It's free training, you know, on Monday night.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if it's where he leads me, I'll count on me following. I never tell my God no.
Praise God. Well, Dot, in winding up, is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners that comes to you?
The only thing I would say is that if anyone gives you the opportunity to follow through with it, don't delay. I delayed for a full year from the time my friend started inviting me to come to this program, and I keep thinking, my goodness, why did I wait so long? I could have been freer so much sooner. And I think that we can tend to do that is hold ourselves away from the blessings of God because we don't think we deserve them. So if someone gives you an opportunity to lessen your load and lay it at the feet of Jesus, don't walk but run and accept that opportunity will definitely be a gift.
One other question I didn't ask you. Were you injured in the bombing downtown?
I had no physical injuries. All of my trauma comes from everything that I saw and did that day. I spent a lot of the time going back inside the building trying to help others get out. And then as I would see others being removed from the building trying to identify who they were so I could help their families know information about them sooner. So my trauma is from everything I saw and did. But I had no physical injury, which was a blessing in and of itself.
The
things
back.
I did see and do are still, you know, they're very devastating.
It was like a war scene, I know that.
Yes, absolutely. Matter of fact, one of the things I said about it was that surely this is not Bosnia, because at the time that was the hot spot in terrorism, and I thought, my gosh, it's just like Bosnia, you know, from everything you've seen on the news. So it was absolutely. My daddy made this statement, I never thought my daughter would be the one who saw the ravages of war. I would have assumed it to be my son's, but it was my daughter. He said, I'm sticking by it. But God has brought me through and uses me every day, so I'm thankful for that.
Amen. Thank you so much, Doc, for sharing tonight. You're a blessing.
Yes, thank you.
Great
thank
testimony.
You're quite welcome. That's thank you both. I appreciate you very much. Have a good night.
Good night.
God bless. Wow. That was just absolutely powerful. Absolutely powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, you really don't think about so much about it, about those that survived, those survivors' guilt and the other things, the other burdens and the traumas laid upon them, and the wickedness of the whole situation. And it's just praise God that our God is more powerful and stronger and can set you free from any trauma.
Amen. Amen.
That's just powerful. I mean, just with what we had last week with the gentleman that was in Vietnam and hers, that PTSD is just it's just rampant upon this country today,
yes.
And it's affecting so many. And I know that a friend of mine who suffers from it, he didn't actually see any combat, but he was he saw a lot of wounded people, and that really really affected him, just seeing the wounded people. And that's actually what came to my mind with what Dot was giving is just how traumatic that to be to have to identify that there's just no telling the damage and stuff that she saw there and how that could just imprint in there. But you know, that's just praise God that our God is greater than all that.
Amen. Amen.
So, and I'm just looking forward to the future there with how many more people she can reach, because you know there is so much healing in Jesus, but when you don't understand the spiritual aspect of it, it's hard to get that higher level of healing that the Lord can give to us when Christians operate in that capacity of casting those spirits out of them.
Yes, and the inner healing aspects, of course.
Yes, definitely the inner healing, with closing those doors on it. And I'm just as she was telling who she works with the survivors of terrorist acts, I'm just seeing, wow, this can just how much stronger and how much more her ministry is going to be with what she's gone through, and just to have a small part of that is just humbling.
Yes. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I can see her going through the training. You could tell she could. She'd make a great team leader.
Yes, she would. I mean, with all her experiences and the testimony she gave right there, that is just wow. That's just awesome. That's just awesome. Well, Pastor, we're a little bit past the time for the other caller. Do you think you need to maybe shoot her a phone call or a text or?
Well, yes, I'll go off and give her a call.
Okay. Okay.
I'll be back.
Well, all right. Well, what comes to mind is the same scripture that I gave last week to the gentleman who gave his testimony about being set free from that which tormented him and the experiences of Vietnam is just the second book of Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the Lord, be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and God of all comfort. That's not some comfort, that's all comfort. And he who comforts us in our afflictions, that we're able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also the comfort is abundant through Christ. And that is abundant comfort. Jesus just doesn't give a little comfort, he gives an abundant comfort. And we have a promise that no one else has. You know, that you don't see comfort or hear about the comfort and hope in Buddha. You don't see the hope and comfort in Allah. You don't see any of that. You only see it in Jesus Christ. And I just know that Dot's going to really be able to. She has been even going to be really using more. So we have Mona. Mona, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right,
I'm here.
Thank you for joining us. I believe Everett's trying to get a hold of you. But I'm Ralph. Thank you for joining us, the co-host. And would you mind giving a little background about yourself as far as when you were born again and how you came to discover deliverance and what it did for you?
Okay. Well, I thought Christ out as a child, like as a small child. I learned about it at school, like when I was 6, because I went to a Christian type school. So I would go like walk to churches, you know. But then I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost when I was 16. And at that time, I was like on the run, you know, for Jesus, you know. And I was at a Pentecostal Holiness church. It was a real, you know, type of situation for me. And, you know, my husband, his mother, was an evangelist there. And so that was just kind of the walk that we walked, you know. And so that was like the clothing and everything was all strict as far as no earrings, no makeup, no everything at that time, back then at that time. It was just different kind of walk for us, you know, for years and years and years. And that's how I've come up, you know, with our music, our clothes and everything. It was a long time before we had a changeover, you know. And I, at that time, way back then, having my children and everything, I started listening to Everett, but I could hear him on the radio, but I had never met him. And then when we came to Oklahoma City, then I started going to City Church, and he was started doing the deliverance ministry there. And my son was young, and he... they would go to his school, and they would have him go to different schools and stuff and speak. And that was one of his best, one of his callings, you know. And he started working as a being one of the pastors at the church for the, you know, the children's ministry, not the children's, but the like the children's, the junior ministry. And they what he started working with Pastor Hogan at, and you know, then they started working with that pastor, you know, with Everett and with that and stuff. And it was always a blessing to be there with the City Church, you know, and work with that the ministry there too. But I still did not have a whole lot of contact with Everett at that time, and really still did not put the, you know, put that, the two of those together until recently. And then that's whenever I had the super, super deliverance of what I recently experienced, and that was an amazing, amazing thing, because I come up as a child in a very abusive situation, away from, I wasn't in Oklahoma, and away from my family with my mom, and I had a lot of abuse, physical, mental, verbal, and sexual abuse. So that came, with that came a lot of bad things happening to me as a child. And with that came a lot of sexual abuse, you know, to the degree of I was just like tormented as a small child. And I went and sought my mother out by the time I was 7, and I told her that, you know, I was being sexually abused. But it had started like even 4 years before that, when I was 3. And so, but she wouldn't do anything, so I just stopped speaking. I totally was like a mute, would not talk. And she, I remember her saying, you know, why won't you talk and all that. But I don't even know why I wouldn't talk. I just didn't know, you know, because she, I talked and told her, and she didn't say anything. So I don't know, something within me just stopped talking, you know. And so I eventually started getting counseling whenever I got a certain age. I, you know, was kind of like starting like having mental breakdowns. And I started getting counseling. And I had years and years of counseling. And when I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, then I started getting Christian counseling. And my pastor, he took me on as his daughter, spiritual daughter, you know. And so he worked with me, you know, he was there for me all the time. And I didn't work far from the church, so I was always, you know, at the church on my knees, you know. And even at my lunchtime, I'd be at the church on my knees, you know, or on Saturdays, I'd have the kids there and I'd be at the church on my knees. And I could call him any time, and he was always there. And so I just continued to go and get counseling. And I thought, okay, so I'm delivered from this mess, and I'm glad. You know, I'm glad. I had been on, you know, depression pills and different things, you know, just because I was depressed and you know, I had a lot of fears and anxiety and fear, and, you know, and it was difficult to be married and you have been tormented with this situation and you have a problem being intimate with your husband, you know. And so what I'm thinking, I'm okay now. And when I went recently to be, you know, delivered, I go and I lay these things down, and I go up, and we go through these things. And the most beautiful thing happens is I'm thinking this thing, I'm taking this to the feet of Jesus. This particular thing stood out to me out of all the things. If I had all these years, I'll be a counselor, all these years, I made sure I, you know, tried to alert my children and help them so that this would never happen to my children and all that. And I'm thinking that I'm not even in with these people anymore. And, you know, I've even seen these men, my stepfathers and all that. I've seen them since then and all of that. And I put this down and I'm thinking it's over. And when I got ready to take this to the feet of Jesus, my hands are cupped and the weight was so great. I promise you, it felt like I was trying to carry a mountain. And it just got intensified. And we went through the prayer. And the prayer, I was saying the prayer. And then the voice changed. And the voice, it was somebody else's voice. And it just got ginormous. And it just got huge and loud, and I never heard it before. I don't even know whose voice it was. And they was just yelling out. It didn't want to go. And it sounds so, I mean, it took over the whole church. And the other people came, the other men that came, and they started praying. And I couldn't stop it. I couldn't shut it down. It was nothing I could do. And it finally got out of there. They just prayed it out of there. And I was so glad to get rid of it. It was weight. I didn't even know I had been carrying that thing around. I didn't know I had been carrying that thing around all the time. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I am free. Victory is mine. Hallelujah. I recommend anyone to be set free. You never know. You never know what God can do. Man cannot do this kind of thing. Only God can do this for you. Only God can do this.
Yes.
You know, it's only something God can do.
Vanya, this is Everett. I finally got back on the phone.
Hi, Everett.
Hi. When Susan ministered to you, then it sounds like she got the head demon up that talked out of you then. Is that what it was?
Yep. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a technique that when it doesn't work, people have to be sensitive enough for that to work. Only it works in about 1 out of 3, I find, but it's very efficient when it does work and we can find out, you know, what's going on real quick and close any additional doors that maybe we didn't get closed. So that was great. That works really well. So what changes then? How's your life now as a result?
It's amazing. I mean, it's just amazing to walk around and feel that freedom, you know? I mean, and
yes.
I'm more conscious of the door. You know what I'm saying? Just, I'm more conscious of everything, and I am mindful, you know, and I mindful of the steps. I, you know, make that part of my day, every day, of my night, of my day during the work day. Every day, it's part of my morning. It's part of my day throughout the day at work, because I've got to season myself to where it's part of my life. You know, it's got to become a part of my lifestyle. It's like putting on you know, it's like your daily life. It's got to become a, it's got to become a, like getting dressed every day. It's got to become a lifestyle. It's going to be, it's got to become a new lifestyle for me. And I realized that when I first left, you know, it was my first day, you know, it was difficult. But the more I pushed, and I knew what, when I left the first day, I felt so different, you know. But I know that I know at this time that this is not just, it's a new lifestyle. It's a new lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Because you have, I know that I, it's like putting on the full armor of God every single day. Every single day. It's a part of your, my whole life. Every morning, it's a prayer, it's a change, it's a scripture. It's every day, all throughout the day. It's a part of my work. It, you know, when I go to work, I take it with me. You know, the tools
given,
I take those tools with me. They're with me now. They're with me now.
That's awesome. I can tell. I can tell, Manya, you're on fire for Jesus now.
I recommend it. I highly recommend it. It's, I mean, you know, we are in a spiritual warfare right now. This is the end time. It's the end time. And I can, you know what, I'm going to tell you something. From the time that I was delivered, I can see, and with people, it's almost like you could tell the difference when people that approach you, like it's like people, it's a difference.
Yeah.
It's almost like they, it's almost like they're scared to approach you. Because when you pray, and you got that, you put that armor on, they know not to come near you. They know not to come near you. You put that armor on, they know not to come near you. They know not to come near you.
Well, Manya, your daughter Elizabeth got ministry. Did she seem to do pretty well with it?
Oh yeah, she's gonna be calling in.
Yeah,
she's gonna be calling
I've
in.
Got her
she just got out of church a little while ago, and she went ahead and went on home. But whenever you're ready for her to call, you'll be ready.
Yeah, I've got her. I don't have the calendar in front of me, but. In a couple of weeks, I think it is. We're not, we're going to do reruns on the show on the 13th. So it's Monday after that. So I'll be contacting you to, and, you know, we'll firm that up.
Okay. I think my son's going to be in this Monday.
Uh-huh. Good. Praise God.
I think my son's going to be in this Monday. So... we're looking forward.
We're all
looking
right, Manya. Well, we just had a couple of minutes left. What else would you share before we wind up?
Well, I just say this: if anybody is gone and they think about that maybe they should go back, I suggest you go back. Because there's nothing to be ashamed of to go back, because there's always some, even if you think maybe there's this or maybe some small thing, go back. There's nothing wrong with going back, because whenever you have a thought to go back, that's usually the Holy Spirit. That's God speaking to your heart. You know, we have to learn to be, you know, listen to the Holy Spirit when He's speaking to our heart. When God's speaking to your heart, you know, we have to listen to the Holy Spirit, you know. When He's speaking to your heart to come back, to go back, go back. Because when you go back, usually, because I went back a second time. And when I went back, there were some other things. And I'm going to tell you what happened. I made the appointment to go back. And in the meantime, and I think it's the reason why they call it meantime. Because there was some meantime going on during that time. In the meantime, the Lord showed me some things that needed to be put out there on that paper that we needed to pray for and get rid of and take to the feet of Jesus. So I suggest anyone that has a mind or a thought that comes to them and says, I wonder, yeah, go back and get rid of, because you need to get rid of all of those things. Get rid of all those things. Because you have to realize these things you have been carrying around. I've been carrying around all those things since I was a child. And some of people don't even remember all the things you've been. A lot of people don't remember all the things that they that happened to them as a child.
Yes.
They
well,
don't
thank
remember
you so much.
Things.
We're out of time. We're out of time, Anya. Thank you so much for calling in. It's a great testimony, and God bless you.
God bless you. Have a good night.
Yes,
y'all have a blessed night.
Thank you for calling in tonight.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Night.
Appreciate your testimony. Another couple of powerful testimonies. I mean, both set free from some heavy trauma in their life. And, you know, Anya is right. Sometimes people are set free on one deliverance, and other times things can come back.
Yes.
Especially if we don't live our life as we should, we can definitely allow them back. And sometimes the root cause isn't dealt with, so there's nothing to shame to seeking out for ministry and more help. And,
sure.
You know, that's the thing about it is our pride. A lot of time will prevent us from going. Obviously, the enemy will whisper to us and convince us we don't need it, but there's nothing wrong with seeking out help. And the great thing that I have found about going to a properly trained deliverance minister is there's not judgment. When you come before them, you're able to get to it, and they're there to help you. A properly trained deliverance minister is there to help you, not condemn you. And that's what someone needs in Jesus, to get help, be set free with what is causing their problems. Again, that's Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, the book by Pastor Cox, or DeliveranceUSA.com. We thank you for joining us this week. And like Pastor said, we will not be live next week. We're going to rebroadcast probably last week's broadcast, along with the Marine Corps sniper and what he overcame from Vietnam. And we do thank everybody for tuning in, and we will see you live in 2 weeks. God bless, and have a good evening.
God bless, everyone.